giving up the time. It's giving up maybe like say you're I'm encouraging you.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? That's what I like to hear. Come on and stand to your feet. I'd love to invite you down here to the altar. Please come. And while you're on your way, come on and clap with us.
shout of praise in here this morning. Ooh, amen. And
he's forcing me to be up here because he's a punk, so.
I'm super nervous, but it's fine. It's fine. We want to welcome our online guests this morning. We also want to, what? We also want to welcome any guests we have in the house now. If you are a guest and you want to get connected, we have a connect room in this right side of the hallway. You'll get to see my pretty face in there. Today, after this service, we have spaghetti dinners being made right now by the Motorcycle Ministry. They're $10 a plate. Get over here. You're supposed to be with me. Are you serious? Wow. See this? Cool. So, $10 spaghetti dinners after this service for the Motorcycle Ministry. And then our Easter candy drive has started. So you can drop any candy or whatever you got at the check-in desk. And then we also have our annual business meeting next Sunday after second service. You get to see where your tithes and offerings went. Last year, I said this year, last service. It's cool. Then we also have our worship night tomorrow, 7 p.m. So get here, get people, invite your family, invite your friends. It's going to be amazing. And I was told to add this in there as well. If you are between or in grade 7 to 12, you can visit us here at Uproar. Wow, I'm nervous. Uproar services Thursday night, all right? Do that. It's great. We also have the Sunday youth room. Starts at 11:30. 11:30. Amen. I'm going to give it to Pastor.
Praise the Lord. How many were here on Friday night? What an amazing celebration. Amen. It was such an outpouring, and God's presence was so powerful. I know if Pastor Rhonda could peer over glory, she would have been smiling like a cheek-to-cheek smile. Amen. So I just want to thank you all for being here, for giving her honor. And today we are going to have a time. Now, I do want to encourage you, Bishop is preaching. What that means to you is get a pen. He drops so many nuggets, or get ready to watch it again. He drops so many nuggets in God, it's just like your head spins. So today's message is powerful on faith, and you don't want to miss any portion of it, and you don't want to let one of the morsels fall off the table. It's almost like you're eating a porterhouse steak, and you start licking the bone, but the entire meat falls on the ground. You don't want to let no meat on the ground. You want to get every morsel of this piece. It is good. So are you ready for a good touch of God today? I want to welcome the Weavers, our pastors from West Virginia. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Anybody else? We have folks that literally, they traveled the country this week to be here. Wow, it was a lot of folks. Yeah, Kentucky was here. Indiana was here. We had New Jersey here. We had Texas here. We still have Texas here. Ish is still in town. And we had a bunch of other states, a bunch of folks from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania came up just to give honor to Pastor. You came all the way from Florida. Amen. Praise the Lord. So people from all over the United States came, and today we're going to worship Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to worship Jesus? I am. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are a good God and you're greatly to be praised. We thank you, Father, that we are not governed by our circumstances. We are governed by the Word of God. We thank you, Jesus, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, we'll step out of where we are to get where we're going by the avenue of praise. That, God, we're going to praise down the power. That, God, as we worship you, you're going to break bondages in our lives. You're going to heal our bodies and heal our minds. Jesus, you're going to do a great work. We don't want to be the same when we leave this place in the name of Jesus. And everybody shout it. Amen. Let's worship.
Hallelujah. Come on and clap. Y'all know this song. Sing it out.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what
the Lord has done for me. I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
So much joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
I get joy when I think about
what he's done for me.
shout when I think about
what he's done for me.
Yes, I can shout when I think about
what he's done for me.
What the Lord has done for me.
Tell your neighbor. What God has done in your life over the last year before that. Come on and give God a shout this morning. Come on and give God a shout this morning, because he's worthy this morning. Hallelujah.
Goodness and your love.
the best life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now. Living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now. Oh, Jesus,
Jesus,
I'm alive in you. that you work it. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop,
you never stop, you never stop working.
Yeah.
That is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Holy. Holy. Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, Lord God. Lord God
Almighty,
we exalt you, Jesus.
Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty,
you're holy,
holy,
holy, Lord God,
Lord.
Holy, holy.
God, you love us so much. Father, even the depth of our mess, you still love us with that unconditional love. Father, we thank you that we don't have to chase you, you chase us. We thank you, God, that you love us so much that you gave all that we could live. Today, Jesus, we just want to say out of gratitude, we love you. God, we thank you that we can call you holy. Father, you have angels at all times declaring, holy, holy, holy. But they never have experienced what we did. We've got the blood that washes our sins away. We've been called children of the Most High God. We are part of the household of faith. God, we're going to see you face to face. When we do, God, we're just practicing here. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in the literal, tangible presence of an almighty God without any constraint. I thank you that Pastor Rhonda knows. She's right there. I'm sure she already has your feet. She's already looking in your eyes and declaring holy. Father, we honor you this morning for the right to be called children of God. Thank you so much. God is healing some folks this morning. Someone is having, in your right kidney, you have an infection, and it's painful with the kidney going down the urethra. In the name of Christ, I curse that infection in Jesus' name. You've already started taking antibiotics, and so God's going to beat the antibiotic in the name of Jesus. I command right now the infection to leave that body in Jesus' name. Someone also is having vascular issues on the inside of your right leg. It goes from the groin area down to about halfway down into the calf. You're having issues with the vascular system, and it's actually a little painful. And God is opening up those vessels in the name of Jesus. What has collapsed will be reinflated. God's going to make the blood flow perfectly so you don't have any numbness in your feet at all in Jesus' name. Someone else is having problems in your head, in the back side of your right side of your head, and it kind of just feels strange. And God is, you don't need to know. All you need to know is that God's taking care of it in the name of Jesus. We command right now the cause of that to be cursed in Christ's name. You foul thing, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Thank you for the authority. Thank you for the covenant. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for your patience. Can anybody identify with me? Thank you for your patience, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy, for it's new every single morning. We need mercy, oh God. And we so appreciate that you love us, and again, even in our unlovable state. You are so good, and we love you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We're going to make sure our bishop has all the time that he needs. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Pastor Cody is all ready, I think.
That was great worship, huh? What'd you say? Okay, you had fun with that last service. That's good. Josh said he wanted to do it, but we'll let you do it. It's okay. Okay, deal. Awesome. Well, look, I'm setting a bad example because I put my Bible down somewhere, and I'm not sure where somewhere is right now. But if you got a paper Bible, will you wave it at me real quick? Awesome. You go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading in verse 6, and it says this. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to talk about the value of being a cheerful giver. Oftentimes it's funny, people are like, well, the church just wants your money. I'll tell you, we don't really want your money. I want you to have more. I want you to be blessed. If the church wanted your money, we'd make you sign a membership and then kick you out if you didn't fulfill that. But we don't have membership here. You can come as you want. You can serve as you want. You can leave as you want. Whatever it is, we want to see you blessed. And a portion of this is being a cheerful giver. I started thinking about it. Why would God want a cheerful giver? And it's interesting to me because I think our goal is to be like Jesus. And you look at the life of Jesus, Hebrews says it like this, that it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. Which would be the greatest gift ever given was Jesus the Christ dying in place of our sins, in my sins, a debt you and I could never pay. And Jesus didn't do it with like, oh, I guess if I have to, I will. The Bible says it was joy set before him. it was an honor for him, and he did it with joy to give his life so that we could have eternal life. When you start thinking about it more, man, giving with joy shows where our values are. Scripture teaches us where our treasure is, our heart follows. I think cheerful giving, it helps us show that we're not bound by selfishness or greed or disobedience or laziness or stinginess. But the other great thing about it is cheerful giving opens certain things up for our life. You know, cheerful giving opens up the ability for us to see what God has for us, according to Malachi chapter 3. Also, according to Malachi chapter 3, cheerful giving allows God to protect our finances. According to being a cheerful giver, in Malachi chapter 3, giving allows for financial blessing in our life. I mean, 2 Corinthians just said it like this. Whoever gives receives. Man, cheerful giving allows us to receive. Cheerful giving puts us in favor with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says this about cheerful giving. It says, you will be enriched in every way. You'll be better in every way. You'll grow in every single way to be generous in every way. How great is that? Cheerful giving makes me better so that I can give better. And I'll end with this verse. I think that cheerful giving opens up the good life for us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, it says this. If you're willing, I think cheerfulness and willingness go hand in hand. And obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I want to see you have the good of the land, and I know the Lord wants you to eat the good of the land as well. And today, we're going to have an opportunity to tithe, to sow, to give our offerings to the Lord. And there's three ways you can do it. You can text, you can go online, or there's an envelope in the back of your chair, and we also do it way different than normal people. We're not going to pass a bucket. We bring our offering to the Lord in a cheerful way. Amen? And we quote Deuteronomy chapter 28. So if that's you today, you're ready to give, you have your tithe and your offering prepared. Pastor Spencer is so excited to get the microphone. He's going to give the supernatural blessing this morning.
I want to give a testimony real quickly. Many of you don't know. Actually, majority of you don't know. In fact, probably more than the majority of you don't know. Last Friday, we were actually, not this Friday, but the Friday before, we were actually robbed. And somebody went into our parking lot or came into the church, tapped into our Wi-Fi, and stole $210,000 out of the church account. They completely drained the account, and normally you don't get that money back. But the bank, not our bank, but the bank it was sent to caught it. Thank you, Jesus. And they returned all the money. Amen. That's a testimony. You need to know. That is humongous. And now we have what we call cyber insurance. Isn't that crazy? But I just thank the Lord because, honestly, you usually lose the entirety. So we, by normal process, we would have lost the full $210,000, and it would have drained that account completely. And I just want to give God praise that He restores. Amen. He works for His kids. Isn't it? I many people don't realize, and we've heard people say, well, why do you have people, you know, guards and stuff like that? The number one place to rob in America is a church. And yes, amen. And the number one place for pedophiles are churches. And so what we do is we are very, very protected. And we want to make sure our babies are protected. And we want to make sure you're protected. Of course, we lean on Jesus first. But at the same time, you got to be wise and not dumb. And so now we have to step up our security dealing with the internet. Can you believe that? They came right either in the building or right out in the parking lot and stole the money right out of the account. It's pretty crazy. So the bank called me and said, did you buy a building in Pennsylvania? And I said, no. And they said, oh, that's not good. So I just wanted to give God praise for that, and that's a testimony. I didn't want to give you the testimony until the money was put back. That's the testimony. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're online, this is your moment. You have the opportunity right now to give online. This is some of your church. This is your church. Make sure you're giving to your church, even if you're online. Tim has a word from the Lord for you.
Amen. This morning during worship, I was just feeling very, 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 very strongly that there's so many here who are tired and weary and you are drained. And it's so much, I even feel it's going over to people's sleeping schedules. Like, you cannot sleep. You feel like even when you get sleep, you're just exhausted. You're tired. I don't know. Does anybody identify with that? Or am I just shooting at the wind here? Okay, I got a couple people. Praise the Lord. And now the problem is that you might think that that's okay, but that is not okay. Jesus says he came to give rest. He said, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are tired. That is not your portion as a church. I want you to know that as a child of God, it is not your portion. So I to cap this off, I believe we need to repent and go back to rest. Now, repent, it's not a scary word. It means change your mind. It means change your thinking. So if you are feeling extremely tired and you just, even when you sleep, I feel like even when you sleep, you're just exhausted still and your whole life is exhausted. We need to repent and turn back to rest. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to pray for you real quick. Is that anybody again? Cool. Let me pray for you. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that we would repent back to rest, God. Lord, when we rest, we give you back the control. We cannot do it on our own. And when we rest, that's us putting our trust back into you. God, we thank you that you're a good God. We thank you that you protect us. You provide for us. You do way more than we could, even if we were awake, God. So I ask for supernatural rest on this place. In the name of Jesus, God, thank you that you give rest. We love you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are so honored this morning to have our bishop. Now, how many of you know that sitting under is important? You cannot be in authority unless you are under authority. Boy, that got quiet. I said you can't be have authority unless you're under authority. So our authority, we are so blessed to have Bishop Rick Thomas and Pastor Kathy Thomas as our spiritual oversight of this house. We are so honored, and I want you to know as your pastor, I'm submitted to my leadership. What that means is if Bishop stood up here today and said, Pastor, you're no longer the pastor of the church, I don't think I'd be happy about it, but I would submit to his authority. Why? Because I know he has the best in mind for my heart. And so it's important for you and I to understand that whomever you sit under, that changes your life. That's why you got to be careful who you sit under. Can I hear an amen? Last night I was watching a T.D. Jakes interview, and the interviewer said to him, who was the most powerful and important person that influenced your life? And he said, it's impossible to say one because every fingerprint made me who I am today. And I want you to know that there are many fingerprints in your life, some good, some bad. But I want to thank the Lord that we, as His Tabernacle Family Church, get to sit under a genuine bishop. Now, a lot of folks who call themselves bishops might have 25 people in their church, and they don't oversee anybody. But we actually have a genuine bishop, an actual apostle, in this house, and we are blessed to sit under them. And we want you to know that this morning, will you give them, please, a great hand clap and appreciation and honor.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been several years since I've been able to be with you. I'm usually home taking care of grandkids a lot of times. So my daughter has three. She has twins, and she has one that's 11 who's involved with dance, gymnastics, and at competitions all the time. And so I've been helping her the last few years when she's out of town with him. With the twins. I get the twins. So anyway, we have five grandkids, and we love our grandkids just as Pastor Spencer loves all his grands and his children. Isn't it great to be in a family church that loves the Lord? Amen. And that shows their love, not just to the people, but shows their love so much to their own family. You know, we can't always put our family first. We have to put the Lord Jesus and His church first, too, sometimes. But I thank God for family. I thank God for family. And it's good to be with this family and to hear your praise and worship. It just stirred me up, both services. First service, I was picturing Jesus walking up and down the aisles as you were singing, Waymaker, I'm the promise keeper, you know? And we have to take time in our worship just to see what God wants us to see, not only as we're singing, but see, what does He have for me today? Maybe you need a healing, and as you're worshiping, you can get healed and set free so that you can enjoy the service. How many of you want to be able to enjoy the rest of the service? You don't want to sit there in pain and agony or tired, as this young man said. You know, but we want to be refreshed in the Spirit of the Lord. I was sitting there, Pastor, in this service, and I just was worshiping because I see a lot as I'm a worshiper. I write a lot of songs. I was our music director for over 27 years in our church. Now I've taken a little sabbatical in that area. I still sing once in a while, but turned it over to the young people because they have all the contemporary music they love to do. But, you know, I still envision things. And one of the things I was envisioning in this service was I was seeing Pastor Rhonda Jean Spencer at the throne singing, Holy, Holy, with that big smile on her face to her daddy God, the one who loves her. And I was just picturing that, Pastor, the whole time I was singing that song with all of you. I was seeing her there with the millions who have gone on before, even my own mother who just passed away 2 weeks ago. And we had her service on the day that I found out about Pastor Rhonda. And we had to make sure we were going to get here. It took us 2 days. 2 days. They deplaned us on Thursday. We were trying to get in early so we wouldn't be late. And then they took us off the plane. We went back home and worked and did things that we needed to do. And then we got back on the plane again the next morning. Only this time we had two stops trying to get here. And our first plane was late. Our second plane was late. Now we're getting a little nervous because Bishop had to preach, as you know. And he was nervous. I said, you'd better call him and just warn him because our plane is not going to make it on time. But then I remembered something. When we first got married, and God had called us, well, at least I knew He had called us. My husband really didn't want to go, but he knew I'd heard from God. So we both went on a missions trip. I had to believe God for every single dollar in order to be able to go on this expensive missions trip with a woman named Nora Lamb. And we went years and years ago. It was probably about 40 years ago. And I remember when we were arriving from Fort Lauderdale to California and we were going to take off to go overseas, our plane was late. So I sat in my seat, and I began to speak the word of God. And I began to charge my angels. How many know God gives you an angel for a reason? I charged my angels to go before me. And I said, you know, God, let my angels go and hold that plane for us. And I'm telling you, we ran from one end of the airport all the way to the international end. And when we got there and we're huffing and puffing and about to enter in, all of a sudden the stewardess, she comes out. She goes, well, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas. We've been waiting for you. Thank you, angels. Thank you. So I remembered that yesterday. We were split up in our seats yesterday because they had to rebook our tickets. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know what? God wants us in this service. And we were only going to have 38 minutes to race to the next plane. I said, angels, you did it once, do it again. Hold the plane. The plane was an hour late. Thank you, Jesus. And we made it and even got to go to Chili's and have a bowl of soup. God's good. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. He never stops because he's a good God. He loves us. Tell somebody he's a good God. He loves you. And he's going to bless you. And for the word today. I told you it was a long time since I was here. I'm just glad to be back. But isn't God good?
Yes, he is.
And I want to encourage you. We were so glad to be here for the service Friday night. It was probably one of the greatest services. Probably the best. We've done a lot of funerals. We've done a lot of memorials. But that was the absolute best celebration I have ever been in my entire 45 years of ministry. And I tell you, like we told them in first service, you need to love this man, honor this man. Don't forget your pastor. What she did, the hands that she's laid on you through the years, the words she's prophesied over you, the book she's written that encouraged me, no more hurt. You can be in ministry, you can be hurt, but no more hurt. And as I've read that book over and over, it just ministers to me. But she's gone, don't forget her. Always keep her in your heart and mind. And love and honor this man and hold up his arms. Hold up his arms, whatever he needs. Say, Pastor, I'm there for you. And love him like you've never loved before, because in that, his wife would be pleased. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you.
You never know. She could just take off. And there's something about these preachers' wives. You know, you've been here when Pastor Rhonda started, and he might as well just sit down. You know, they've got the anointing, let them run with it. Amen. I learned that a long time ago. I learned that the hard way, but I learned it. It's very important. I learned it. Amen. What a joy it is to be with you today. And I thank God for the relationship. I thank God for allowing my wife and I to have the incredible privilege and honor just to be with his tabernacle and to not just their pastors and their family, but you as the family. And you've blessed us and my life for years. You prayed for us, and it was a real privilege to be able to come and share in the memorial service. What an incredible saint of God. Amen. And I want to share some things with you today that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to you. One of the things I want to start out with is what we did in the first service and shared, is that, you know, when someone goes home to be with the Lord, it doesn't mean that what they've set in place is not carrying on. Of course, we talked about legacy. And I was sharing with them the thought about my dad. My dad, the last 8 years of his life, came in and lived with us. My mom had gone home to be with the Lord earlier. And so dad came in and lived with us from age 81 to 89 in our house. And became a part of the family. He'd sit around the dinner table. And my kids today still talk about the stories that my dad would tell them. And you know, it was a wonderful season. My wife treated him just incredible. And we would get up and leave my wife and the dad at the table, and he'd talk to her for hours. It was wonderful. And she would go, "You just left us." I said, "I know, but you needed to hear what he had to say." And I'm just joking. She didn't say that. I wouldn't be here if I said that. But my dad was a wonderful, wonderful man. He was a man of God. And I won't go through all of his story, but at age 59, he'd had four heart attacks. Because of medical bills, my mom had gone through cancer. And because of the medical bills, they'd gone totally bankrupt and had nothing at age 59. Because back then, you didn't have the kind of insurance that you have today. And he was living with me in a townhouse. I was a youth pastor. They provided a townhouse for me. My mom and dad came in and lived with me. But God put his hand upon his life, totally healed my dad, put him into ministry, put him back into the ministry. He'd been in ministry 40-some years before he had his first heart attack. He only had 30% of his heart that was operational. And so he couldn't do anything. He could hardly walk across the room. But God healed him and told him, "You're going back in age 59. He said, "You're going back into ministry." And he started the church we're at now, Abundant Life Church, there in Margate. My dad and mom started that. and began a great work there. And so here we are as we're going on. I'm now the senior pastor of the church, obviously, and we're going back and forth. We would go in church on Sunday morning. My wife was head of the program as far as the worship and things, and so she'd go a little bit earlier than we did to meet with all the people, get them all set up. And I would bring my dad in with me. It was a wonderful time because we talk about the Lord and the things of the Lord, and I'd be able to bounce things off of him as we went on our way to church. Well, on our way to church, we lived in Coral Springs, and our church is in Margate. Well, you cross over this little canal that takes you from Coral Springs to Margate. Well, a Presbyterian church had been very prevalent over in Coral Springs, went across the canal in Margate and bought this property and built the most incredible church, 1,600 seats. I mean, it is amazing. Your pastors have been there. It's all glass. It's unbelievable. We got fountains out front with a big lake. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so we'd be crossing over that bridge. My dad looking at me and he goes, "What are Presbyterians doing in Margate?" I said, "Dad, you can't say that." He said, "But that's our church. That's not theirs." I said, "Dad, they built it." He said, "I don't care who built it. That's ours. They have no business being there." Then they were called to Coral Springs. We're called to Margate. They need to get back where they belong. And I said, "Dad, you can't say that." He says, "That's our church." I said, "Dad, really?" It really bothered me. And this was every Sunday. And so, from about like 2004, 3 or 4, up until 2006 when he went home to be with the Lord. My dad was a great man of God. When he went home to be with the Lord, I remember I left him at where he was at. Had to put him in a place to take care of him. And my brother and some other people were there, and I saw him. I said, "Dad, we got a guest speaker. I'm going to church this morning. Introduce the guest speaker. I'll be back to see you afterwards." And he was sitting up. They bathed him. He shaved. He was good. He looked up at, I'd gone to church, introduced our speaker. He looked up at the clock, and he said to my brother, he said, "You know, your mother went home to be with the Lord at 11:10 on Sunday morning." My brother said, "Yeah, Dad, I know that." He said, give me my Bible." He gave my dad his Bible. My dad's saying was, "God is a good God. God loves you. He's going to bless you." You know, I've used that here many times. I use it wherever I go. God is a good God. He loves you. God's going to bless you. He took his Bible. He looked at the clock, and he did this 3 times. He laid the Bible down, looked at my brother and smiled, took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and went home to be with the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? 2006. In 2015, we moved into that church, and it is now our church. See, when a prophet speaks a word, it's the word of the Lord, and it will not return void. And Pastor Rhonda left a lot of things here for y'all. Believe me, every word she spoke is going to come to pass. Because it was spoken under the utterance of the Holy Spirit speaking forth into your lives. And I want y'all to learn to hang on to that and realize that. That maybe while you might not understand, like my dad, you know, that was between him and God. And I know this. I know that Pastor said that he let her go. He said, "You can go, and it's okay." And I believe all of that because I think she'd have fought because her husband wanted her to. But because he released her, see, she had made a decision. "I'm ready to go to the feet of Jesus." Amen. And that was between her and God. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning on that line is that there's a lot of words that were spoken that you need to go back and remind yourself of the prophetic that she brought to this church and to this ministry. And don't let it go, because I'm telling you, it's going to come to pass. And that's just a word of encouragement to you. But today I want to take you into a subject that I think that was one of even Pastor Rhonda's favorite subjects, and knowing her and sharing a lot of things with her. I had the privilege to read her books before she made them available to everyone. She wanted me to read it and tell me what I thought. And I would, I'd read it and I'd say, "Man, these are great." That's about how much thought as I had about them. They were just incredible. "You need to publish this, you know. No changes, just go for it, you know." But we had an incredible relationship, my wife and I, with pastors, Michael and Rhonda Spencer, and it's been a blessing to us. And one of the things I know that they teach here, and it's big, it was big to both of them and to her, is that you walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to talk to you about the fact that when you walk by faith, you can suspend the rules of the natural universe. We are not a part of this natural realm. God says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. The Bible says when we're born again, we become a new creation. All the old things pass away, and all things become new. It's important we understand that we're not living the way that the world is living. We live in a different arena. We live in a different world than they do. Even though we're in the same world, we're not living according to the laws of the natural world. We're living to a different drum beat, if you will. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 5 through 13, we have this written. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a certain centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy but that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word that my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another one to come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Amen. Now it's important we see something here that's very important. Because you see what Jesus is saying in the nation of Israel, the nation of covenant with God, the nation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he said, even in those people who were brought up in that dimension, they do not have the faith that this Gentile has. Now, I want to suggest to you that the church is very much in that arena. When we look at the church today, and look across America and see the churches of today, we find churches that they don't really walk by faith. They'll say something, but they don't live by it. We don't see actions of faith manifested in our lives. We know that there are crises in the world. We know that there's a monetary crisis in the world today. We got inflation going through the roof. We know worldwide there's all kinds of problems monetarily. We know that we develop all kinds of different methods and means to be able to deal with that, whether it be the cryptocurrency or any of those things, the crypto coins or whatever. It doesn't matter. The reality is there's a crisis, and men's trying to solve it with their own minds. We understand that there's an energy crisis today with the gas and things of that nature. And so men are trying to come up with ideas. We've got the green group saying, you know, that we need to move over to this to get away from the natural fuel and go to this. And they've got the people that say we need to oil and we need to drill. And there's a crisis in the world because there's an embattlement of confusion that's in the world today. There's a crisis in the racism today. We see that. You know, we in the church, we need to understand something. We're neither red, yellow, black, or white. We're kingdom people. When did the color of a skin take a precedent over the kingdom of God? But the church is caught up with that, and we got to get on one side or the other. And we get into all of these different variable things that we argue with one another. And it's divided the church today. We've got all kinds of problems in our education system, in our political system. Crises are everywhere. But we look at trying to find the answers all within ourselves. The answer is never going to be, because you need to understand something. The God of this world is never going to let there not be crisis in the world. He's always trying to create division. He's always trying to cause us to be warring against one another. And he uses every situation that he can. And we need to understand something. God has given us a different rule that we live by, and it's called the rule of faith. The currency of the kingdom of God is called faith. And if we walk by faith and not by sight, we don't have to be held captive by the system that is trying to control us. And I believe that God is raising up generations today in the churches. And we're beginning to see people that are not going to be caught up with what the world system, but get caught up with what God has said. And so, you know, I don't want anyone to look at us and tell us that there's more faith in the people in the world system that's in the church. If they're going to see miracles, it should be in the church. If they're going to see signs and wonders, it should be by believers. If they're going to see the supernatural, it should be those signs following them that believe. And so we talk about the subject of faith. It, to me, is such a messed up subject in the body of Christ. We know this, that Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Mark this down if you're taking notes. Faith is not revealed in manifestation, but it is revealed in revelation. Faith is not revealed in manifestation. It's revealed in revelation. We have a problem with that because we flock to where we can see manifestation. The problem is we come in, we see the miracles that a minister comes in, a brother Ted Shuttlesworth comes in, operates in the gifts. We see ears open up. We see blind eyes open up. We see miracles. Pastor comes out. He calls out on a word of knowledge about someone with the head and the problem with the back and the kidney and all of these things. We see that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's manifestations. The problem is we've become spectators rather than participators. And so we come to watch and be spectators of what God's going to do for him. No, let me tell you something. You need to realize you need to have a revelation so now you can have your own manifestation. But if you don't have a revelation, there is no manifestation. It's important we understand that. And I'm not going to get into a lot of that. That's another teaching altogether. But you got to understand, if you're not a tither, you're not in position for revelation. I'll move on. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 7, we see this. The servant wakes up in the morning with the prophet. And the servant looks around and they're surrounded by the enemy in this passage of scripture. And he goes to the prophet and he says, oh, what are we going to do? Whoa, what are we going to do? Just like they come to us sometimes, Pastor. What are we going to do? And the prophet looks at the servant and he says, oh, those that are with us are more than against us. And the servant goes, 1, 2. Tens of thousands. What am I missing here? He says, oh, it's real simple. God opened his eyes and give him a revelation. He opened his eyes and all the angels were standing, chariots of fire were standing around the enemy. Now the question is, how long have they been there? They've been there all along. But they could, watch this now, but they could not protect them until they saw, oh, Jesus. See, their miracles are here, but you can't have them until you can see them. Glory to God. You got to get a hold of this thing. I could go to a lot of directions. I got to stay on my notes today. Revelation is the stepping stone for manifestation. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 4:17-21 says we call those things which be not as though they are. Faith, watch this now. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'll tell our church this almost every week. I'll make reference to this. That the word of God paints pictures on the canvas of your mind. The word of God will paint pictures on the canvas of your mind. That's called revelatory insight. And we allow the word of God, you hide the word of God in your heart. You meditate in the word of God day and night. You move into those dimensions. You move into a revelatory position. And so it paints pictures on the canvas of your mind so you don't see what others see. You're looking at the same thing, but you're looking at it quite differently. Now, faith, as we look at this, it says this, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We know this, that faith is an action, not a thought process. Amen. It's an action. It's not a thought process. I wrote this down in my notes. If we do the difficult, God will do the impossible. If we're willing, we love that. Don't we do the difficult, God? Well, why don't you go stand out with Pastor on Sunday morning and greet the people and when it's freezing, when he's got his little hat on, and wave at people with him? Well, I can't do that. You do the difficult, God, and do the impossible. Why don't you become an usher that you've never been an usher? Well, it just takes too much time. If you do the difficult, God will do it releases God to do the impossible. See, when you do the difficult, it releases God to do the impossible. When I lay hands on the sick in places where people don't expect me to, when it's not popular, oh, come on, stay with me now. It releases God to do the impossible. When we get involved in church and do things, our nature says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work in the children's ministry. I don't want to do that. I had a teacher come to me, and I was talking to a teacher in our church, and I said, they come to our church, and they've been coming for a number of years. She's a great teacher. And I said, hey, are you involved in the children's ministry? She said, no. I said, then shame on you. She said, wait a minute, I deal with kids all week long. I come to church to be ministered to. I said, that's the problem. You've got a gift that you give it to the world, but you won't give it to God. Well, come on, stay with me, guys. You do the difficult. God does the impossible. He didn't say, I'll make it easy. His road is easy, but your activity is going to require something from you. I wonder how easy it was for Jesus to hang on a cross and look at everybody and say, forgive them. They don't know what they do. This is a piece of cake. I can go through this. He was in agony, folks. I won't go through. That's another story altogether, too. But he was in such agony on that cross. He was beaten so bad, he was unidentifiable. He had a spear in his side. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He felt everything that a human being could feel. But he still said, I will do the difficult and let the spirit lead and not the flesh because I come from a different world. When we talk about faith, only faith in his word can deliver you from the God of this world. Only faith in God and his word can deliver you from the god of this world. We look in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. We find that there's a story where the lady, she's bent over and she's sick and she's got a demon. And Jesus comes in on the Sabbath day. He sees her and he sets her free. He lays hands on her. He commands the demon to go, sets her free. And all the religious people get mad. You see, sometimes you've got to suspend the rule of religion. Oh, come on. If you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, then you're not going to walk by religious activities of the past or traditions because they render you powerless. So we see that he suspended the rule of religion. Joshua chapter 10, he's in the fight. He says, wait a minute, the sun's going down. I command the sun to stand still. I command the moon to stand still. He says, I will suspend the rules of the universe by faith because we got to finish this battle. It's time that we begin to suspend some things so that we walk by faith and we can overcome the enemy and we can defeat him on every hand. But it's going to take you beginning to speak to the suns and the moons of your life, saying it's time for you to stand still. God said this year to us in the Word of the Lord to our church this year. He said, this year I'm going to turn back the clock of time for you, and what I showed you in years past is now going to be relevant today, and what you've forgotten I'm going to bring back to your mind, and I'm going to cause the dreams to come true and the visions to manifest themselves. This is the year of supernatural possession and ownership. Yeah. This year. Everybody say this year. We find over in the book of Matthew chapter 14, Peter comes walking on the water. Jesus is walking on the water and Peter's walking on the water with Jesus. What happened? He suspended the rule of nature. Mark 7:24, with verses 24 through 30, find the Syrophoenician, one of them comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what have I got to do with you? You're a half-breed. She looked at him. She says, I might be a half-breed, and I know that you feed the children the bread. The bread is miracles, by the way. The bread is for the children, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Give me your crumbs, I'll get healed. He suspended the rule of racism. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The axe head begins to swim. So he suspended the law of physics. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Living by faith. What is that? Is fact that versus truth. Facts should create truth, but many times we allow false truth to create facts. Facts created by circumstance is held captive by a moment. A moment is never the truth of a matter. Let me read that again. Facts created by circumstance is held captive by a moment, but a moment is never the truth of the matter. It's important you get a hold of that. You see, if you're not careful, you let the moment destroy your future. If your ideology, write this down if you're taking notes. If your ideology is based on circumstances, it will create your philosophy, and you will end up with a false narrative. If you allow your ideology to be built on what the circumstances are, it will create a philosophy in you that will cause you to have a false narrative. For instance, we use the term, God chooses not to bless everyone. That's a false narrative. Just because we look at people and everybody here is not blessed the same doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless everyone. But if we're not careful, because everyone's not blessed, we justify it. We change our theology to accommodate our tragedy so we can justify why we're not walking in the blessings of God. But God said, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. God said, who will meditate my word day and night? He says, I will hide it in your heart that you might not sin against me. God said, my word will be a light and a lamp unto your path and to your feet. God said, if you meditate my word day and night, I'll give you wisdom so you can make yourself successful and you will have victory in your life. Oh, come on, church. Let's get a hold of this thing. Let's not buy into these false narratives. We've bought into this with our churches, and we've created theology, or not theology, really, it's philosophy that we call theology. We have a grace message that is absolutely nothing but world controlled by the God of this world. Now listen, grace is not sloppy agape. Grace does not mean that everything is que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Oh, God's going to do this or God's going to do this. I just live by grace. You don't even know what grace is then. Grace is according to the word of God. It's the empowerment of God upon a believer's life that they can be what he created them to be and do what he called them to do. Amen. Someone says, well, grace is free. No, it is not. Jesus, you've got to receive Jesus, and then Jesus gives you grace. You don't receive Jesus, you've got no grace. And he says, and by the way, if you want to call grace unmerited favor, what are you going to do when he says, if you walk humbly before the Lord, I'll give you more grace. So I can earn more grace by being humble. Therefore, it is not unmerited. See, we get mercy and grace mixed up. But we've taken the grace message to the church so the church can sit on there, do nothing, and do nothing. It's all in God's hands. He's got it under control. No, faith works by word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But faith without works is dead. Rendered inoperative. Y'all with me on this? God doesn't choose not to bless, but he chooses to bless everyone. Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If we operate in that mindset, this will cause us to reject God's word and live by man's plan of understanding to justify himself. When we try and justify ourselves, it's called situational ethics. Situational ethics says, in the moment, as long as it makes me feel good, it's okay. As God's creation, we are not to try and justify ourselves, but we are to live by faith. Stop trying to justify. I don't have to justify myself to anyone. I was with someone one day in a situation that I was correcting. I was in a business. And they were doing something. I said, you can't do that. That's wrong. And I said, you're not doing that. I said, stop it. And they said, aren't you a preacher? I said, yes. Well, you're not acting Christ-like. I said, are you a Christian? They said, no. I said, what do you know about Christ-likeness? You know what you're talking about. You've been talking to the religious group. You don't know somebody who's a true child of God. A true child of God says, I'm not going to accept what God has not promoted. Oh, come on, stay with me, church. We're going somewhere this morning. We don't have to justify ourselves. We have to live by faith. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's stop right there for a moment. Now means in the moment. Remember, we can't live in the moment. Well, faith is in the moment. But you realize that faith refuses to stay in the moment because faith is the subject or the substance of things hoped for. Word hope is favorable expectation, which is futuristic. If you have an expectation of something, it has not manifested itself. It's on its way. Come on, tell somebody, it's on its way. So faith in the now is moved by what it's hoped for. So if you don't learn to move your now into the future with an expectation, then your faith now is no longer relative. I don't care what somebody says they believe. I want to see how they live what they believe. Amen? So faith is futuristic. It's always looking ahead. It's never looking behind. Now look at this as we look into this. If you do not move your now faith is, if you do not move your now into the future, your now will be held captive by your circumstance. That means your future will be aborted. So if you're sitting on your rusty dusty and you're in the same place as you were 10 years ago, you know why? Because you've aborted your future by not walking by faith. Faith never lets you stay still. It always moves you forward. Faith never lets you take time off. Faith how do I know that? Because the word of God never takes time off. Right. They said, increase our faith. He says, you know, when your servant works out in the field, and then he comes in, you don't have him sit down. You tell him, keep serving us.
Right.
Faith is always serving you. And faith is always moving as long as you have the word of God painting pictures on the canvas of your mind, creating expectation for the future so your faith has some place to move towards. It's hard to believe you can come in a church like this and get all excited in a service like this and walk out and nothing happened. I didn't say that first service, did I? No. When you lose sight of your dreams, your present is held captive and your now has no place to go. Someone said to me, well, I don't have any dreams. Then get with someone who has one. Participate in someone else's dream, and if you will make it happen for them, then God will give you a dream to make happen for you. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Faith is the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. faith, the title deed of things. The word things is a very unique word, is pragma. The word pragma out of the Greek language simply means this: that which God has already created, that which was, is, always will be, is already here. In other words, everything you ever have need of in life is already here. You just don't see it. Don't let me help you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, or in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them. In other words, has prepared means past tense. They're already here. Your success in life is not somewhere out there. It's where you revelize. Let the word of God paint revelations on the canvas of your mind so you can see the things that God has for you. And then you can call those things that be not as though they are. And they'll begin to come to you, because you're not to seek things. They are to seek you. My Bible says goodness and mercy follows me. I don't seek it. My Bible says signs and wonders follow me. I don't seek it. The blessing of the Lord will overtake me. That means it's chasing after me. Quit looking for this stuff. Just start walking by faith and let it look for you. Amen. Faith is present tense. It's future motivated. It's substance. It's confidence. It's trust. It's evidence, it's proof, it's conviction. We have to leave the law of the physical world to walk by faith. Romans 8:14 says that as we are in Christ, we're led by the Spirit. As men are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Romans 10:17, of course, faith will come to you, but you got to let the Holy Spirit lead you, because he says in the book of John, he's the Holy Spirit is sent to testify of all things and teach you all things that the Father has spoken. Every truth comes from the word of God. Psalms 119:43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hope in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty. For I seek your precepts. Every word of God, Proverbs 30:5, is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. We need to learn how to live by faith. Knowledge is not always truth, and the world's concept of truth does not always make it a reality. We walk by faith, not by sight. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. We know without faith you can't please God. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the fight of faith. Faith is a struggle. Faith deals with enemies. Faith will require total commitment. Now, what do we mean by that? And I'm going to say it very simply. Stop being spectators and become participators. What did you say? Get up, dress up, show up. And never give up. It's going to be tough. It's not easy. Quit being a spectator. Quit coming to church and getting excited and leaving. You know, this is not a rock concert. Come on. This is not a Broadway show. We're here to change lives. See, the difference between the church and the world system, they have concerts. The church has places that we teach and train and mentor you, that you go out and you are the concert. We see the difference between them and us is you go to hear them sing. We are here to teach you how to sing. Come on, church. Faith is a heartfelt belief, a total trust. Faith is, according to Hebrews 11, it's always in the future tense. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and faith takes you to the unseen world of the spirit. It suspends the five natural senses of man. If I can touch it, it doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, because I look not at that which is seen, but I look at that which is not seen. That which is seen is temporal. Touch, seeing, hearing, smelling, and tasting, that is simply temporal. Faith causes us to look into another world that is not identified by the physical, but by the spirit. We call it the fourth dimension. Colossians, it says over in chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, starting over there around 16, 17, 18, all the way through there, he begins to give us an insight that, number one, we've been taken out of the control of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son's love. In other words, we've switched kingdoms. When you switch kingdoms, you cannot live by the same laws. You have to understand, when I go to Thailand, where we have our girls and boys home over there in the orphanage, and I went in there, I had to learn the culture and the laws of the government so that, and the people, so that I could be able to go in and minister to those people. Because if I broke the law, they would put me in jail. You understand? And you need to know something. As long as you operate according to the laws of the world as a believer, he's going to put you in jail. Spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, economically, you're going to jail. But when you walk by the law of the Spirit and you walk by faith and not by sight, he can't put you in jail. He might knock you down, but we read it the other night, but you're going to get back up. You're not going to sit around and just say, oh, no, you're going to walk through it, but you're going to have victory. Because you see, this faith walk is a journey. This is not a one-time moment. It's not a momentary thing. See, that drives me crazy. Well, I got faith to believe for that. Shame on you. I got faith to believe on everything. Yes. I don't particular point something. I got faith for that. No. I got faith in every area, spiritually, mentally, physically, economically. Your pastor said earlier, I preached about my ministry for years, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lost. I expect to have health. I expect to have peace. I expect to have joy. I expect to have a great wife. I expect to have a great family. I expect to have great kids. I expect to be blessed in my coming in and going out. I expect to find favor wherever I go. I expect to walk in strength and not in weakness. I expect to walk in favor and not rejection. I know my God before me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I really believe that. So my faith is not one-dimensional. We mentioned earlier, while we look not at those things which are seen, those things which are not seen. 11:3 of Hebrews, it says, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, when you walk by faith, you walk in the authority and the power of that which creates. When you don't walk in faith, you walk by that which the world system controls. See, the world system, if you're not operating in faith, has the authority over that physical thing. But when you operate in the Spirit, you have authority over the world system because he's put him underneath your feet. Oh, come on, folks. You know, we say something like, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Really? Really? Do you live that way? Do you walk that way? Do you talk that way? Or are you only doing church? And then when you get around your friends, you go, well, I don't know what we're going to do, man. I don't know. The economy's doing bad. Oh, I don't know what they're going to do with the government. Oh, I don't believe what they're doing with all this racism going. I don't know what they're doing with all this economics. I don't know what they're doing with all this educational problems. Oh, I don't. Who cares? I said, who cares? You walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by what God says. They throw stuff up at me. I go, but God said. When are we going to start looking at the news and say, but God said? No, God said this. Everybody's so afraid of it. I'm not afraid of anything. Gas is going to $8. That's not my problem. God said his by my needs according to his riches and glory. So why am I worried about what they're doing? My God has the power to supersede anything that the world system does. And if his tabernacle is going to be what God called him to be, it's going to have to take a people that walk by faith and not by sight. They call those things but be not as though they are. They refuse to allow the system of this world to interfere with what you're doing. Your faith will come under attack, but that's okay. Romans 10:8 says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So then faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. James 1:2 says something very unique. It says, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, testings, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance, and endurance will activate your faith and leave you entire. Watch this now. Wanting. Did you get that? It will leave you entire, wanting nothing. That alone is enough for me to walk by faith. That means when I get to a place that I want, because my want is based upon what will satisfy me. Well, what will satisfy me is what we found out and learned from Pastor Rhonda, is to be in the presence of Jesus. But if I'm in the presence of Jesus, there's healing. If I'm in the presence of Jesus, there's miracles. If I'm in the presence of Jesus, there's blessings. If I'm in the presence of Jesus, there's favor. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. And when I walk by faith, I'm not hung up. Well, we're believing. No, I'm believing for God to be God. As I said earlier, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, or entered into the heart of man that which God has already prepared for you. Isn't it sad? The majority of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will never enter into what God has prepared for them. You know why? Because we don't walk by faith. Walking by faith is a real effort. I said it's a real effort. But when you learn to walk by faith, I don't let circumstance get in my way. The secret things belong to the Lord. But those things which are revealed, they're for me and my children forever. Can't believe what's going to happen to this young man as life goes on. You can't imagine what our kids and our grandkids would experience if we dare to take this message to heart. As I said, and I'll say here, the foundation and the house that Pastor Michael Spencer has built along with his wife, Rhonda, it will become the foundation for their children and their children's children to build upon. And if they don't build bigger and better, shame on them. But you have the gift, and you have the word, and you have the heritage. God's about to do bigger and better than we've ever thought of. Amen. You know why? We're a people of faith who dare to believe, act upon. Now watch this now. And we're not afraid to enjoy what God has for us. I said we're not afraid to enjoy. Pastor, come for a moment, please. It's important we understand certain things. Your pastor got up here and he talked about being under authority. I believe that. I have an authority over my life. Dr. John Evazzini is my mentor. He's my authority. He's now my spiritual father in the Lord. I've had the privilege. I had my father. I had the privilege to be under Dr. Oral Roberts' covering for a number of years. And Dr. Young Cho out of Seoul, Korea, to sit under his covering for 6 years. And then when the time came, it was time for me to be under all of the many fingerprints. Dr. John Evazzini is now the covering of my life. But in all of that, when you get into the covering, you understand the anointing, according to the book of Psalms, it flows from the head to the beard to the skirts of the garment. When Dr. John Evazzini became my father in the Lord, the first time he came to our church and we sat and we talked and spent time together, and I talked about, it was a divine connection. We met in Israel. God divinely put, we both knew it at the same time that God had put us together. That he was to be my mentor. I was to be the one that he was to train. And he said to me, I never get, he sat with me. He said, now, Rick, he calls me Ricky. Nobody call me Ricky. But Dr. John calls me Ricky. He says, now, Ricky, we need to have a talk. I said, yes, sir. He says, you know, my anointing is in biblical economics, prosperity. I said, yes, sir. He said, you've been through Oral and Cho, so I know that that is your anointing, your calling to preach prosperity. I said, yes, sir. He says, well, until you get free, your message is carrying holes in the bags. In other words, it's leaking out. I said, what do you mean? He says, until you get debt free, you can't get other people free. Right. That was in 2002. We had a $354,000 mortgage on our house. We had all kinds of stuff. I said, okay. I had to begin to walk by faith and not by sight. But I had his anointing because I was under his covering. Today, I can tell you we're debt free. I can tell you that God has blessed us beyond measure, that you cannot imagine how he's blessed us. in properties and lands. And that's another testimony. My wife has a great testimony about that. But how God is just so blessed. And I don't say that to brag. I'm trying to encourage y'all with something here where I'm going on this. Because I got under the covering and the anointing came down. When the anointing came down, what was in him got in me. Let's see if you got it. So because, and I went back and I eliminated a lot of people that I was covering. God began to deal with me, and I said, because people would come to me for the year through the years. I'd had a group of pastors. I brought them. I said, guys, I love you all, but we could no longer, you're no longer be under my covering. You need to find where God leads you, but God has really spoken to me. You're not it for me. I won't go into detail. There's a lot of things involved in that. That was a number of years ago. But when God joined us together, it was a supernatural thing.
It was.
And we had never known each other through the years. I think he might have heard me in ICLC, but we never knew each other. But God joined us together in a supernatural fashion. And when the time came that he came and he said, him and Pastor Rhonda, my wife and I already knew that they were going to ask us to cover them. See, God always gives witness to things like that. And so when he came to us, we were very quick to say, yes, we'll do it because of that. But here's the thing. The anointing that I received from those men, my dad, Oral Roberts, Dr. Youngie Cho, John Avezzini, that has rested upon my life, and we've gone around the world and seen the manifestation of it everywhere we've gone. I'm in Colombia 5 years ago. They're trying to raise money for a church, and in one weekend, with seven services, we raised $1 million in Colombia to build their church. You think of it, Colombia. That's a lot of money, folks, in Colombia. People were going to come to church in buses. They didn't have money for cars. But that church now has exploded, and that pastor today is running for president of the nation of Colombia. You know why? Because he came under the covering. Oh, God, help me here. And he's having more millionaires raised up in his church. They've got 28,000 people in their church now. Come on, everybody say, the anointing,
anointing.
Flows
from the head
to the beard,
to the skirt.
Stretch your hand towards your pastor, and I set it in place, the anointing that has rested upon those lives that came upon my life, that will now rest upon Pastor Spencer. Michael Spencer will never be the same again, and this day is going to be a mark in his life. And his life is going to begin up just because there's a new beginning of his wife going home to be with the Lord. But there is a new season coming upon him. I had not seen and ears not heard, but God has already been there. You've gone before us. And I release this anointing upon his life of supernatural leadership, of supernatural manifestation, a blessing materially as well as spiritually. Father, I thank you that what's inside of him now is going to come out as his belly flows with the rivers of living water. And I release that anointing upon him now. And I call it done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall never, ever be the same. I mark you today. And today I charge you to now mark your church in Jesus' name.
An important thing for you to learn is not just receiving a word from the Lord or getting a word from the Lord. You've got to receive it. So someone can speak over your life, but if you don't receive what they've spoken, then it remains dormant. And so, Father, I receive right now the word from our apostle. We receive that word, Father, and we thank you that you can activate and work as you will. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your church. Not my church, your church. Not my people, your people. God, we thank you for your vision and your purpose and your design. We thank you, Father, for where and what you desire us to accomplish for eternity's sake. We thank you, Jesus, that we have not just come here, but you sent us here. And that, Lord Jesus, the vision that has been birthed from 1998 has maturated, has developed, will be even as the prophet said, beyond what our eyes could see or our minds could even conceive.
Father, we declare it right from our mouths right now. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. God, you don't share glory with anyone. And Father, we will not touch your glory. So Jesus, use us as vessels of honor, that your name will be glorified. And this last great harvest will be one that is not just going to happen, but it will be quick. Father, don't let not even one be a spectator, but each one of us put our hand to the plow to bring in that great harvest in Jesus' name. What I love about our bishop, too, is, and he said it clearly, he doesn't need our money. He really doesn't. He is a very blessed man. But we would be fools not to sow. I sowed in first service. So sowing is everything. Somebody said to me once, well, Pastor, I don't have any money. Well, that's simple. That means you've eaten your seed. There's not one farmer that doesn't save seed. I should say in the old days. Nowadays, they just buy seed. They save a part of the seed to plant for next year. If you're eating your seed, that simply means that you're not thinking forward. And so it's important that you and I learn how to seed properly. What do we mean by seed? Well, we know there's three types of giving. Tithe, everybody say tithe, is a 10%. Alms, everybody say alms, which is given to the poor and not expecting anything in return. And third is seed. There's not one farmer that doesn't plant a seed that does not expect a harvest. Pastor Cody read the verse earlier. Sparingly or bountifully is not determined by God, it's determined by you. I'm so blessed, and I'll tell you why I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm really not a great giver. I'm a tither. I've tithed ever since I've been a child. But seeding, I struggled at times, but my wife drained the bank account more times than I could count. And she was a phenomenal giver. Not just a giver, a phenomenal giver. And because of that, I got to reap to harvest. Now I got to make sure I pick up the sticks here and give as much as she gave. So I started this morning. Actually, I started on Friday. We're giving $15,000 to the Rhonda Jean House out of my own personal money. But then sowing into the bishop. Because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, good ground. So today, I don't know. No one can tell you what to sow. But you can ask the Holy Spirit, because he knows what you're going to need later. So if you need a good harvest, you don't want to sow sparingly. And if you're saying, well, I don't have a lot, it's not about amounts, it's about obedience. So listen to the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to pray. This is how we're going to do it. Right in your seats, you have some seed envelopes. Grab them. Remember, if you have nothing, it means you ate it all. So you might at least want to grab a nickel or a dime that you got. If you got not even a nickel or a dime, reach in your belly button and pull out some fur. I said that once, and the week after, somebody actually did that. I'm praying that it came from the dryer and not from their belly button. But you've got to learn how to be a sower if you're going to be a reaper. Amen? You sow nothing, you reap. You sow little, you reap. You sow bountifully, you reap. That's the word of God. That's not Michael Spencer. That's not his tabernacle. That's the word. Pastor Cody read the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So be a sower this morning. Our bishop came with absolutely no requirements. They paid their own airfare, did everything on their own. He said, I'm not even expecting a check. It has nothing to do with a check. It has to do with me making sure we honor. Because what you honor, you gain access from. What you dishonor, you disavow access. So be an honor. And Dan Flatt, I want to honor you this morning. You blessed my family. You blessed the people of God. Their company, Multimedia, produced all the pictures for Friday night and blessed us with those. And I want to honor you for honoring us. Thank you.
And I declare in the name of Jesus that your business is going to double in Jesus' name. I declare that it's not even going to make sense, that you're going to have to hustle because all of a sudden now you have money coming in and clients coming in that you did not even anticipate. I declare in the name of Jesus that they are going to come after you. You're not going to have to go after them because you bless the woman of God. Give it a prophet, a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. Father, he blessed your daughter. Pour out your blessings on him in Jesus' name. So this morning, are you ready to give? Let's all stand to our feet. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never received him in your heart, I'm not asking you to join a church, but Mindy, right over here. If you did not have a chance or have not accepted Jesus or you are not right with God, if you take your last breath, you are a crazy individual. If you leave this place and you're not sure, Mindy's right here. Right when we dismiss, if you need to get right with God, you want to ask Jesus to be your Lord, right here, Mindy is standing, and she'll lead you right to that place. If you're online, you can write in the text. You can text us, I am saved, 97000. Someone's going to get in contact with you immediately to make sure that you're going to not just start this race, but finish this race. Amen? Father, we speak blessing over every seed that is sown today. I declare, God, there are some that are sowing for the first time. I declare, Father, a quick harvest. Father, those that are learning and have already learned, I pray, Father, that it is that perpetual seeding for perpetual harvest. That, Lord, they'll see the blessings chasing them down and tripping them up. And, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, if you're online, you want to give, make sure you put in that little note. Give to Bishop. We'll make sure he gets every penny. We don't take a dime. We give it all to them out of honor and respect. I love you. I'll see you next week. Don't forget Rock Solid Faith this Thursday. And the spaghetti dinner. Don't forget to run right on over, right down there, and grab a spaghetti dinner. $10, I think it is. I bought 15 of them.